The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's happening, guys? Happy Tuesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. All right, guys, let's talk some John Jones. Look, this is a little bit of a sensitive topic. It truly is. And the reason for that, if somebody is scared, I mean, you have to understand, you can completely agree on the facts with somebody. And that generally never happens, right? You know that old expression, there's three sides to every story, my side, their side, and then the truth. And as you go through life, there's a lot of accuracy to that statement, isn't there? Very hard to get two people to agree that are having a dispute. This is one of those situations where everybody can agree on the facts, but then it comes down to interpretation. It's one of those things. We are not in the same world that I grew up in. The world that I grew up in, our gold standard was reality. Our gold standard to determine what happened was reality. We're now in a world where the gold standard is emotion. It is no longer, what did that person do? It is now, how did it make you feel? And it's important that you get caught up to speed on this, right? There's no statement or even a judgment by me. I'm telling you in accuracy. And it's a very big deal. Let's say you're in John Jones's spot and John's going, hey, wait a minute, I didn't do anything. I'm in my house. You came to my house. Whether he was angry or he was attempting to be funny, there was nobody ever in danger. But it can come down to how did it make you feel? And I got to get that out of the way, because if you had somebody that felt scared, I don't want to come and give them a hard time. I really don't. If that's genuine, if they truly felt a certain way and they felt that something needed to be reported, I don't want to give them a hard time. But I do want to set that aside and come out and be a little bit clearer here. This is not right. This is not right to come down on John Jones for. This has been bound to happen, and this has got to be used as a learning experience. I mean, we had Tim Kennedy draw a 45 fully loaded semi-automatic because he had people coming to his property. Oh, by the way, Tim Kennedy, prior to pulling the semi-automatic on the USADA team that had showed up there very early, which means in the dark, right? That's the relevance to early. The relevance to early is not that a fighter is too lazy to get up out of bed. It's dark. Somebody's on your property. John Jones's case, you got dogs that are barking. It's one of these situations where it's going to alert him and it's going to rattle him. And when I tell you this is going to be a learning experience, like, this for sure was on its way to happening. And there hasn't been a lot of concern or guide put in this direction. But to make believe that Tim Kennedy was wrong, he wasn't. The FBI had just contacted Tim Kennedy, who had doubly and triply secured his home to the tune of $150,000, not that the government paid for, that Tim Kennedy personally had to pay for, because he had very realistic threats from ISIS. This is not an exaggeration by me. So now you're in a situation with John Jones, and I don't know what John's past is, but he does very sincerely have some alerts. He does. I mean, there is a reason that he has weapons. There is a reason that he has trained dogs. There is a weapon that he has security cameras. There is something from John's past where people coming to his house, particularly when it's dark, alerts him. I mean, not for nothing. It's his house. Now, I get this is an USADA, and you might hear me say USADA a couple times. I just mean the around the clock, the pool that we're now in, the 24/7 around the clock drug testing that the UFC athletes are subject to. So if you hear me use the wrong vernacular, they have the right to be there. I'm not giving a message that, hey, come there, you better be ready. Tim Kennedy, you point a 45 Magnum at you. I'm not doing that at all, but I am suggesting for you that maybe there is another way. I mean, to give a guy a 10-minute heads up, just for example, to send a phone call and or a text message, just for example, I don't think any of us believe a guy could clean his system or find a way to cheat just in that surprise factor, right? And maybe this isn't it. I haven't had a ton of time to think about it. I'm just sharing with you that this has got to be a learning experience because this has been coming down the pike. So now you've got John Jones. He finds himself in a situation where he's got strangers in his house. He's been drinking a little bit. It's dark. He's in his house, though. I'm not putting this on them, but you got to take it off of John. It cannot be. He's in his house. He has to comply. He's got to let them in. He can't let them leave his sight. That means anything he does. If he was to do something very private, if he was to go to the bathroom, if he was to take a shower, these things have all happened and these things all will happen right in front of them and they're strangers. You're now derobed. I mean, I'm just sharing with you, like, John is a responsibility and it's a very big responsibility, but he did his responsibility. It would be nice if people were polite. It would be nice if people got along. I'll tell you from a personal standpoint, I had one of these drug tests. Oh my goodness, I couldn't wait until he was gone and I had another guy I looked forward to seeing. I mean, that's just the truth. But they had brought two. And they brought a man and they brought a woman. Now, again, when you talk about the world is moving and it's changing quickly, when I had to do this under USADA, I was in the back of the MGM Grand and we had no privacy and we went into a janitor's closet. There was the yellow and the mops and the things like this and the piles of bleach. I bring them, I just don't know how sanitary that is. I don't know this person. They have no ID. They tell me who they are and I accept it. I'm now presenting my manhood to them. I mean, I've got to tell you that, right? And now they're taking needles and they're pointing them into my veins and they're pulling out blood. And turned out the guy was exactly who he said he was. And but to share with you that if they would have brought a woman, I wouldn't have done it. I would not have done it. There's not going to be a scenario where I'm trying to explain that to my wife. And so now you find John in a situation where he's at his house. He has to do this. He has to give blood. He has to give urine. And he's got one male and one female. And then we're supposed to act as though John isn't going to be irritated or bothered. And John doesn't get to be scared, right? He's the champion of the world. John's the GOAT for the light heavyweights. He's on his way to GOAT for heavyweight. Some people think he's just the overall GOAT. So he doesn't get to be scared, does he? He doesn't. Nope. He doesn't get to be those things. He doesn't get to be a normal human being. He doesn't get to be a guy that's alerted. He doesn't get to be a guy that's annoyed. He doesn't get to be any of those things. Come on. He's all of those things. He's all of those things. And he was doing and behaving in that way in his house. There was required learning in Westland. And I think that the schools are still the same. I could make one phone call because my sister's the head of school board. But I will tell you, when I graduated in 1995, To Kill a Mockingbird, you guys remember this? And three other books. it's the only one I can remember. I remember the story. I even remember the characters. I even remember when they were made into movies. Even if I couldn't produce the name for you in this video. But one of the books had to do with a guy, and the guy had gotten angry and he told somebody else and he did it in front of people and he said, I'm going to kill you. And later, person that was told they were going to be killed got killed. So they arrest the guy. The guy said, my God, I didn't kill him. I was never even going to kill him. That was just an expression. It was just an expression. And if there's anybody that knows about expression, it's our industry, right? How many times have you heard somebody say, I'm going to kick your ass? Probably more times than not in a fist fight. Probably more times than not, both guys, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to kick his ass. Hey, go kick his ass. Fans, coaches, your own parents, hey, kick his ass. Have you ever seen somebody take their foot and kick the other guy in his ass? No, no, I'm being serious right now. I'm being serious right now. Have you ever seen that? It's an expression. It is an expression. Rich Franklin, who might be the nicest guy that's ever gotten in the octagon, truly might be. Oh, and by the way, might be the most handsome. Oh, and by the way, might be the most ethical. Oh, and by the way, might be the smartest. Now, he's not. I'm all of those things. But Rich might be, right? He's right up there. He said that. His wife had jumped in the octagon, which was like, it embarrassed him. He was happy to see her. He looked, it's his wife. And he goes, oh, I'm going to kill you. But it reminds me of that book that I had to read in 1995. So the character in that book, in case you guys wonder how that story is, he was completely innocent, but he had said it, and the jury's in there deliberating, and they're arguing. They're saying, but he said, I'm going to kill you. Those words matter, and now this person is dead. He must have done it. The jury starts arguing, and the jury argues to the point that one of the people on the jury that wanted to convict the guy stands up and goes, I'm going to kill you. And the other people argue and pull back, and they said, are you really going to kill me? And the guy realized it was an expression. I mean, I'm telling you this, and if I'm getting too intellectual on it, I mean, this is a very big thing. Nobody was in danger. And if somebody felt a certain way, which is today's standard, how did it make you feel? Versus John attempting to be funny, attempting to entertain. He's got X amount of people, time he's got to spend with two complete strangers that have alerted his security alarm. They got his dogs barking. They got him in the dark of night. I mean, not for nothing, guys. Come on. You're taking a pound of flesh. John has copped to the whole thing. He's even got video surveillance of his saying goodbye to these greeters. There was a handshake involved. There was a hug involved. I mean, I'm telling you now, nobody was in danger. When you read that headline instantly leads you to believe that there was a threat or somebody was in trouble or even that John didn't want to do the test. If you opened the link, if you read the article, none of those things are true. It is wildly misleading. But it is a great opportunity. And the opportunity should have been used when Tim Kennedy drew down on two people. That is when USADA and these drug testers should step aside from, well, you signed off and you're in a pool. Yeah, I signed off for a lot of things. I'm in a lot of pools. You show up to my house in the dark, unannounced, when my dogs are going off. Yeah, I might do something like Tim and I might say something like John. Either way, I didn't refuse your test. I did not put my hands on you. I gave you the samples. Come on, that's where it ends. John Jones is clean here. I got to go back to this John Jones situation. I have a fear of where this is going to go. And it may go absolutely nowhere. But for it to go nowhere and get cut off, we are going to have to do a little bit of a job. I mean, we're going to have to do a pretty good job of coming out and speaking up for John. I mean, John came out and already revealed his side. Oh, by the way, he had video surveillance to support it. So let me tell you guys a story. And this may or may not be integral in the situation that John's in, but you guys are well aware. And please do not think that you need to correct me in the comment section to let me know that it is not the United States Anti-Doping Agency. It's along the same vein. It's inspired by. So there is a story that is very well known. And Travis Taggart, the head of the United States Anti-Doping Agency, had a very personal and you could call it vendetta. Or you could just call it advocacy. But he had a very personal campaign to bring down Lance Armstrong. Fair way to say it. But when I say it became personal, Lance and his team of attorneys, which were much wealthier than Travis Taggart, found a way to sue Travis personally. And that changes everything. Like, if Travis Taggart has the umbrella of USADA over him, then it's USADA that's hiring the lawyers, right? It's very different. If Lance can go after Travis personally, all of a sudden Travis has to cover that. So, I mean, it's just, it's a very different position. And that's one where most people would have backed down and folded. And Travis did not. Okay. When they brought down Lance, inside, I'm going to give you the inside scoop here. Okay. I don't believe this ever was made public. If it was made public, I didn't see it. So I think, I at least think I'm revealing something to you. But it was a little bit confusing to many of us athletes. Like, hey, why are they going after Lance so hard? Yet we know that he's using, but and what are you doing? It was all over baseball at that time. A few people had done it in the NBA. You'd be surprised. The NBA is very, very low for usage. Many people were doing it at track and field. If you went into any at random NFL locker room, I mean, you guys have no idea how blatantly obvious it is in the NFL because they're covered up in Kevlar. Right? I mean, they're covered head to toe, so you can't see their bodies. And I'm not dry snitching. I'm using an example that none of us really could figure out why they were going after Lance. I mean, he's a lowly bike rider. He wasn't a popular guy. He made a bunch of money. Was that it? He just wanted to get his money back. Couldn't really figure it out. So Lance, by USADA standards, was a bad guy. Not he had done bad things. He was a bad guy. And Lance had threatened to kill somebody. Hey, if you ever talk about this, I'm going to kill you. So I do not believe, and this is just Chael's own belief at all. I don't believe at all that Lance was ever going to hurt somebody or that he ever thought that they were going to believe it. I think, you know, that was just his way of illustrating, hey man, I'm going to be so upset with you. I'm going to be mad at you, right? It's an expression. And it's not one to be dismissed, but it is one of the reasons that Lance went on Oprah's couch and copped to it. It's one of the reasons that Lance pedaled on over to Jim Rome's set and apologized publicly to me. One of the things they used to get Lance, I don't think this ever made public. One of the things they used to get Lance to cop to it is that threat. He had made the threat to somebody, I'm going to kill you. And USADA had gotten pretty powerful and they got the right people. And that's very, for them to use that, but they were. So now instead of just looking at somebody for testing or getting somebody's money back or sponsorships or name off the wall at Nike, now you're having a belief of an attempt of a threat of murder. So now you're looking at a very different probe and you're looking at a criminal probe. I mean, that is one of the things that they used on Lance from a leverage standpoint to get him to fold. And I take the time to tell you that entire story to let you know that, well, you guys didn't know that. And while that's never been revealed to you, and probably not how your mind would work, there is a very reasonable chance that within that world, right, in the USADA world, and all I mean by USADA is the strictest 24/7, 365 pool of athletes that engage. I don't know what the new company's called. All right, there you go. I don't know what the new company's called, but I will speak to it from that perspective. USADA was around before them. And when you have that story And there's some things that just grab people different in certain industries. And the phrase, "I'm going to kill you," Lance never was doing anything with that. But if you do come from that world and you hear that phrase, you may not laugh it off or dismiss it like other people would do. And in today's world that we live in, where the gold standard of reality is no longer what happened. My entire life, the gold standard of reality is what happened. What are the facts? It's not that way anymore. I got a niece and nephew. Niece just came through high school. Nephew is still in it. I mean, we will have conversations where I turn my head into the gold standard for them. Is how did it make you feel? Anything can be true if it makes you feel, right? If it makes you feel somehow better or more positive. So it's one of these spots where, did John do anything that by any kind of a standard would be given review? No, no, not under the original rules we all lived by. Under the new rules of it's not what he did, it's how did it make you feel? Yeah, sure. Everything's fair game at that point. That's where reasonable people need to walk in the room. That's where the adults still need to exist. And that is where John Jones, not only should be instantly cleared. John Jones just may be owed an apology. Guys, outdoor concert and festival season is upon us, and it will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your one-stop shop for your head-to-toe attire needs. One of my favorite smells is fresh leather on a new pair of boots. Man, there's just something about being able to smell high quality with your own nose. You ever walked into the store? You know exactly what I'm talking about. I was so impressed when I found out all Tecovas boots are made by hand. In a time-honored tradition, my wife, Miss Brittany, recently picked out a new pair for me, and I gotta say, I experienced an instant upgrade in my mood and my style. By the way, I always go with a rounded tip boot, no flat tip. It's more of a classic style. That's personal. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary beverage or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it to the store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your favorite pair of boots today. Guys, I'm really into things that add more convenience to my life. It's even better when it also comes with safety in a high-quality package. I'm talking about my Eufy Video Lock. I'm still loving this thing. I love this thing so much that I'd like to invest in the company. I am so impressed with this product that I'm willing to back it. And if anyone out there knows how I can do it, please reach out. You gotta check it out for yourself. I'll probably do a quick social post, but for now, just search Eufy Video Lock. Do it online. It's a 3-in-1 smart lock, 2K camera with an audio and doorbell. It's easy to install. It has fingerprint recognition, so I don't even have to remember a code. I can control it all in an app, which again, the convenience is such a big plus for me. We are always on the go, and being able to monitor our home on the road is such a nice option. Not only that, I don't have to rush to the door if the doorbell rings. I can either open the door or ignore whoever's at the door by vetting them through the app. There is no monthly fees for security video storage. The battery is rechargeable, and each charge lasts about 4 months. This Eufy lock is fantastic, and I highly recommend it. Search Eufy Video Lock online. That's Eufy, E-U-F-Y Video Lock, or visit eufyofficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Action-packed fight card has taken over Las Vegas for UFC 300, and DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving all new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app right now for available lines and odds for UFC 300. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the promo code CHAIL. New customers can bet just $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code CHAIL. The crown is yours. I got a question, which is, who has the most to lose at UFC 300? Now, hopefully you guys are checking out Daniel Cormier and me, good guy, bad guy, over on ESPN. Hopefully you guys are checking that out. And I try to always bring you something new there, or maybe you'd say it about the channel here. I try to bring something new to the channel than you saw over there. But boy, it was such an interesting conversation that Daniel and I had. I just want to spill that over to you guys a little bit. I need to give ESPN the credit, right? Is there a question? I need to give them the credit. But just let me bend this one time. Who has the most to lose at 300? Have you thought about it like that? Because who has the most to gain is a very common question. Of this star-studded cast, the most star-studded card of all time, who is the biggest lock for the Hall of Fame? Just for example, like, these are really positive and they're fun. They're fun, meaningfully engageable topics. But who has the most to lose? I think that that question is very clear. I think it's Justin Gaethje. Now, there's a couple of things in our sport that you just can't do. You can't call out somebody smaller than you. For example, can't be done. You also can't get whipped by somebody you're bigger than. And that is the perception here with Justin Gaethje. And things could go from bad to worse. Listen, Justin's the BMF champion. He's also the number one contender. Justin, according to Justin, has a title fight with Islam secured. He just doesn't have the next title fight with Islam secured. I mean, this is an interview Justin Gaethje put out yesterday. He said Islam's going to fight in June. Islam's going to fight in November. Neither Max or I could be ready by June. So it's going to be the Oliveira Shakarian winner. And either Max or I will be the one that picks up in November. Now, that's not said anywhere in stone. Someone's convinced Justin Gaethje. Justin doesn't the foggiest idea what he's talking about, but he's repeating things that somebody else has told him. I'm only sharing for you. Excuse me. There's no title fight if Justin loses to Max. We understand that. But there's also no BMF title if Justin loses to Max. We understand that. But perception being reality, and I've never seen anything in life where that's more obvious than this sport. And if Max was to take that belt, and Max was to remove Justin from number one contendership, At Justin's age, he's not going to return to number one contendership for either. He will not. He will never fight for a BMF belt again. He'll never fight for the UFC belt again. That's just a reality. If Max was to then take that belt and that contendership and go down to 145 and use that against Ilya Topuria, that will hurt Justin even more because that's where you activate the smaller guy element. Max was to go in and not have a good night with Ilya Topuria. That's where perception for Justin is going to be even more. There's nothing about what I just said that is to knock Justin. I have seen him many times. And Justin Gaethje is at his most dangerous when the house is on fire. He's at his most dangerous when he's angry. I will submit for you, the best he has ever looked was at Madison Square Garden when he stood opposite Michael Chandler. I will submit for you, that is the single best version of Justin Gaethje that the sport of MMA has ever seen. And the house was on fire, and they were trying to take his contendership, by the way. He was angry. He was in the media taking on not only Chandler, but Islam and Daniel Cormier, if you remember that time. I think I'm right. I think the one with the most to lose is Justin Gaethje, and I think that it could go from bad to worse. Not only do you lose the contendership and lose the strap, right? Nobody else has two things they can lose in one night. Not only do you lose both of those instantly, depending on what Max does in the future, perception, you could get beat again. And one place you don't ever want to be facing Justin Gaethje is when you have backed him into a corner. Patty Pimblett, by the way, has called out Moicano. Now, this isn't new. Patty called out Moicano a meaningful amount of time ago. But Moicano's got other business. He's got Jalen Turner coming up. There's a show in Manchester that Paddy the Baddy is not yet assigned to, but he's lobbying for. And it's just one of these very interesting spots. Nobody calls a guy out who has another fight. Not when they want to fight him. Guys will do that all the time as a way of pretending they want to fight. And they go, oh, does he got to fight with somebody else? Oh, yeah, I knew it. But look at me. I was brave enough to fight him. No, that's not what this is at all. Paddy wants to fight Moicano. Oh, by the way, Paddy knows that he's booked with Jalen Turner. Oh, by the way, Paddy did not throw the stipulation on if he beats Jalen Turner. Well, I mean, it's the same old song and dance with all of these guys. Like they have not had an autonomous thought in 30 years. Well, Paddy's a bit of an exception. Paddy's doing his own thing. Paddy's not following anybody's policies and or rules. I don't think the UFC wants him in there with a Moicano or even somebody like a Moicano. Paddy plays a different game. And I love it, personally. He's got me very interested. The mere fact that Paddy the Baddy is calling out Moicano, not saying if Moicano beats Turk, got nothing to do with it. He got some kind of a personal thing with Moicano, and frankly, I missed it. I mean, I've heard people putting Paddy in their mouth. I haven't heard Moicano do it. Now, I'm sure Moicano would have said something just because that's what Moicano does. I'm not totally positive where this come from. Like, why this got under Paddy's skin, I'm not sold. I'm not sold that I'm aware. But boy, it's got me interested. So Paddy comes out. Here's rumor. There's a pay-per-view coming to Manchester. Inserts himself on it. Says that he wants to fight this sausage. Sausage is more of like a British term. We don't call each other sausages here in North America as a way of making fun of one another. So that's funny to me. I find the British terms to be very humorous. And Paddy claims that he actually lost money on Moicano. And I didn't understand. Well, he'd made a bet on Moicano years ago, and I wasn't sure if Paddy was backing Moicano and Moicano lost, or if Paddy bet on Moicano's opponent and Moicano actually won and beat the guy. Which, by the way, would be a way of raising Moicano up, putting him over while calling him out, which, again, nobody would do it this way, but it's Paddy. It's Paddy. Paddy does things different. And frankly, I haven't seen him be wrong yet. I have observed a number of things that Paddy's done, which historically speaking, does not lead to the best outcome. They all keep working out for Paddy. right? Like, I'm always open to learning something new. There just aren't very many characters that have come along in many decades that can teach me anything that I don't already know. I'm watching Patty, though. He's called out Moicano. Not if Moicano wins. Now, he's not going to get him if Moicano doesn't win. The UFC is just not going to do that. But I sure like that Patty is trying to get him to do that. All right, let me give you a WrestleMania recap. And there's a lot of moving parts, right? Like, my recap is going to be negative. But that's how I'm happy. Like as a fan, I don't go in very often to cheer. I go in to boo. So I'm always trying to critique it. I'm trying to think of how it could be better. So I offer you that because, I mean, the show was excellent. I give it 2 thumbs up, even if I'm going to critique things and tell you where there was misses and how it could be better. I give it 2 thumbs up. But It can always be tough when the guys in the business don't understand the business. Now, I got to deal with this on an absolute daily basis in MMA. We have people in all organizations that have been in the business at an executive level for 20 years, and they don't know why the sport works. We have people that will leave the sport and then go to the media and talk about the sport's only in this position because of what I did. They didn't see it. They fired me, but I'm the one that got them here. And they really believe it. Like, they're not being jerks. They truly believe it. They do not know why the sport sustains. All right. Before I go down that road, I'm sharing for you, when you see the fellow wrestlers and when you see these guys in top positions that don't understand what they're doing, like, if you have your choice between mastering the psychology of the fan or mastering the sport, being like Bret Hart, the excellence of execution, Shawn Michaels, you know, that's just a really good wrestler, Seth Rollins, really good technical wrestlers, you're much better to understand the psychology. They say Hogan didn't know the difference between a wrist lock and a wristwatch. And while that's meant to be catchy, to a degree, it's true. Like, he went out there, made it look like a fight. Wasn't doing high flyer techniques and letting the sport win him over. He stood his ground. He stayed in his lane. He made more money than anybody. So, I mean, I watched Cody Rhodes last night. And there were so many things that they did very well. Like, if you want to know the single greatest decision, it was The Undertaker, right? The Rock has to come out on night 2. There's no way around it. You are irresponsible if you have The Rock there and you don't bring him out. Now, on the other side of it, The Rock's time is done. Whatever deal The Rock made so that he got to be the one that did the 1, 2, 3, he's done it. Now he's got to give somebody else the shine. But he's very unlikely as a veteran to give the shine to one of the young guys. So what do? There's only a few people that can give The Rock a bump. And I don't just mean that the people are going to accept me and us. I mean that The Rock's going to agree to. You could have had Stone Cold do it. Yeah, a lot of ego involved there. Gonna have a hard time getting it done. Could not have Hogan do it. Couldn't have Goldberg do it, just for example. Undertaker. It was perfect. That's exactly the guy. I have never, from my vantage point of an outsider looking in, I have never seen a wrestler more respected by wrestlers than The Undertaker. So it was just great to deal with that. You get your time in there with The Rock, and then you got to explain how The Rock gets the hell out of there. Boom. They did it. So when the main event is done, and you got to understand how bad this match was. I mean, I understand these two guys are tired. I kind of get a little of that X, Y, and Z. But this match was rotten garbage. 14 minutes in, I put out a tweet that said there is no explanation or justification as to why this match is so bad. That was 14 minutes in. Now, let me tell you what I saw 14 minutes in. I saw two guys doing slapstick. If you go back and you watch that match, you did not have a wrestling match. You didn't have anything that resembled a wrestling match. Now, I understand there's a difference between entertainment and professional wrestling, and I also understand that I am much closer to a Jim Cornette in appreciating professional wrestling. But it is supposed to look like a fight, not a cooperation, and not something that's silly. I fought 51 men professionally. I have never been thrown into a ring post. I have never been in jeopardy of being tossed into stairs. Ain't nobody clearing off a table because they're going to put me over the top of it. And while I know that all of that is part of the entertainment era, and while I know that corner posts and stairs and tables have a place, for sure, it was all that they did in the first 14 minutes. All that they did was crappy spots and then slapstick, right? Slapstick's not cool. Slapstick, you guys know what that means. There's a rake laid down. You step on the rake, and it brings the handle of the rake up and hits the guy in the face. Like, that's slapstick, and this is what they're doing. In a world title match, on the biggest night of the year, you got these two J-Brones that are 14 and a half minutes in. Neither one of them has broken a sweat. Then I had fans telling me, hey, Chael, calm down. There's another 45 minutes to fill. It'll get better. And they were telling me this on social media. And I'm looking at it and going, that's the point. We know that there's another 45 minutes to fill. They've let the fourth curtain down. We understand what a window is. We understand the time that they're going off air. We understand this is the last thing of the night. Like, yes, I know there's 45 minutes left, but 14 minutes in with no sweat and nothing but slapstick, Roman had covered Cody three times, and Cody had covered Roman three times. That's the problem. There's 45 minutes left, and these guys are covering back and forth as though we, the audience, believe we're going to get to a three count. With no interference, with no rock, with no run, that's garbage. When the match ends, they go into a very organic and unscripted moment. Now, real magic can take place in those moments. Like, I'm not saying that's not a risk that should have been avoided, but it should have been a mitigated risk. Cody was not in that spot because of The Rock. Cody was not in that spot because of Bruce Pritchard and Triple H. Cody was not in that spot because of the blonde hair, because of the reality TV show. I mean, I could go on and on. Cody was in that spot because of you. You, 100%. You, the fans, not only lifted Cody up to put him over, you had to pull The Rock down in the process. That's just not how the sport's done. We are all happy, whether you're cheering or booing The Rock, we are all happy when he's there. The event is bigger and the event is better when The Rock is there. But for you to put Cody where you knew that he deserved to be, you also had to give a bump to the biggest star of the event, and you did it. So when Cody wins and he brings out Triple H, when he wins and he brings out Bruce Pritchard, you have two powerful executives that are both multimillionaires. And that is who Cody thought he should thank in that moment. I mean, I must tell you, like, you, the audience, are going to hate Cody, and Cody is going to go heel. Now, that's just the life of the business, but that began last night, and that was real Cody. That was an organic moment. There's no mark here. There's no none of those things happening. That was a real moment, and those are the two people that he thought that he should thank. Now, he gave a little bit of shine to his mom, which was nice. He said and did some of the right things, which was nice, but it was a massive disconnect from reality. And for us as viewers to watch wrestling and to understand that we must suspend reality, I got the great quote down from three decades ago. What I'm sharing with you is we also expect our wrestlers to fully understand what's happening. The Rock was late to the party. It was a surprise. The Rock was late to a party, not understanding the fans were not going to back him on this one. The fans had already made that clear through social media and a taping. The Rock didn't get it until he was live on stage at the press conference in Las Vegas. I mean, the true person, the Dwayne Johnson, did not understand that the crowd is not going to cheer him until that moment. And Cody, in a real moment, to thank Triple H and Bruce Pritchard, as opposed to you who put him there. It was a massive slap in the face. It was a blunder and it was a mistake. Great.
Blunders and mistake happens all the time. Use them. But you got to use it to go heel. And whether Cody, I mean, Cody hasn't known which way this is going to go from Jump Street. The Rock hasn't known which way this is going to go. Neither has Triple H or Bruce Pritchard. Nobody knew that you, the fans, were going to step up and be heard to this degree. And I'm just not positive that Cody is aware. His heel turn has already began. As soon as he had his moment to stand back and say thank you, he did not thank you. All right, guys, that's it for today's program. Thank you for listening. And remember, if you want to support the show, you can do it. All you got to do is leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or submit a rating on Spotify, and I promise you, I will read one of your great reviews on our next episode, which comes out on Friday. Until then, everybody, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.